Let's get back to the action. The Rooten Report presents Bats and Sticks, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Welcome to Bats and Sticks. I'm Dave Rooten. We're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants, fresh food served fast. Another busy week on the diamonds in the fields, and we got a good show. We got students today, athletes today, three MVP candidates in their sports. Joining us in a little bit, we're going to have Jules Cicero from the Staples baseball team, and we're going to have Anna Von Kennel from the number two in the nation, Darien Girls lacrosse team. Sean is going to be joining me in a bit, but we're going to mix up the batting order today because my first guest, who's having a tremendous season, is only available right now, and I really wanted to make sure I had her on, and that's Maddie Pippa of the Trumbull softball team. Maddie, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, but probably not as well as you with the Eagles off to a 12-3 start and 8-2 in the league, just one game out of first place. You have to be pretty happy with how the team's playing so far.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We're doing great right now.
What's been the keys to the team's success so far besides the pitching?
We've gotten along very well. Just cheering each other on in the dugout and communicating is a big role for us right now.
Okay, I know you don't like doing it, but we're going to make you talk about yourself a little bit. just a tremendous start to the season. You're 10-2 with a 1.62 ERA, and in 74 innings, you've got 158 strikeouts. So for those who don't want to do the math real quick, that's over two strikeouts an inning. And you've got two of the biggest wins of the season. One of them this past week, you threw a four-hitter and had struck out 16 in a 2-1 win over St. Joseph. You're not only your big town rival, but your rival for FCAC championship. Talk a little bit about that game and what was working for you.
A lot of things were working that game. I think when I was pitching, it was just my team effort too. They were all cheering me on and just hyping me up, and then just everything came together during that game, and we knew we were going to win. It was just like, it was a feeling.
Is it a little bit more juice when you're playing St. Joseph?
Yeah, definitely.
And then I saw you pitch maybe the best performance by a pitcher so far this year in the FCAC a little over a week ago. Darien, you handed them their only league loss. Not many times that Vivian Knott takes a defeat. And to Vivian's credit, she threw a two-hitter and struck out 15. But you threw a one-hitter and struck out 16 and walked only one in a 1-0 win over Darien. I got to talk to you after the game, but that had to be a memorable one for both for you and the team.
Yeah, that game was great. We played really good that game. We kept our composure. We communicated throughout the whole game, and it was just a great game.
How big was it? Your only run came in the first inning, right off the bat. The first pitch of the game, Kylie Lucia goes the other way and triples to right field, and then she scores right away on a wild pitch. So two pitches into the game, and you're up 1-0, and that turned out to be the only run. But you have such a big game. How big is it just to go out there and have a lead right away?
It's big. It's really big. And then I just had to keep my composure the rest of the game. But it was a great feeling.
Was that your best performance of your career, you think?
I think so, at least for high school.
What about as a competitor? You're going against Vivian. She's going to Stanford, one of the best pitchers. She's going to end up being one of the best pitchers in FCAC history when it's all said and done. What was the challenge like when you're going against somebody like that and you know you have no margin for error?
I mean, pitching alongside Vivian Knott, she's a great pitcher, and I just have to match her energy and just match everything that she does.
You're not only doing it with your arm, but you're doing it with the bat as well. You've batting 283, and you've got a home run and 13 RBIs. How do you stay sharp as a hitter when you're working so much on your pitching?
I don't focus as much on hitting as I do pitching, but when I am hitting, I don't think about anything else. I just think about what's coming ahead for me.
You got a lot of pop in your bat, and I'll bring up for people who don't know you, and I'm curious, you're 5'1", so you pack a lot of power in your arm and in a small body. I'm curious, everybody knows who you are right now, so they know what they're facing, but when you were growing up and you would pitch, and I'm guessing you weren't the tallest player out on the field, could you sense people thought, well, I got a shorter pitcher here. She's not gonna be much.
Yeah, usually how it went.
How did that make you feel?
Honestly, more determined.
What about next year in college?
Oh, I'm very excited.
It's
definitely gonna be different.
Yeah, what made you, you were recruited by a lot of schools. How'd you make the choice?
I went to visit Wagner, and I immediately fell in love with the school. It's a smaller school, and that's what I was looking for. And when I met the coach and the players, they were immediately like a family there, and that's like the team I wanted to be a part of.
Excited about the challenges. I know it's not right on the front burner right now, but are you excited about the challenges in terms of testing yourself at the next level?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I know him for a long, 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 long time, but you have a new coach this year, Tom Pia. I go back when I was at the Stanford Advocate and he was the coach at West Hill. What's it been like with a new coach for your senior year, and how's the team adjusted to Tom?
At the beginning of season, it was definitely a bigger adjustment than we all thought it would be. But I think 2-3 weeks ago, we just all clicked, and it's been great since then. It's all adjusted greatly now.
What was the hardest part of the transition?
I think just getting to know him, because he has a different coaching style than our old coach did.
Is he still yelling a lot?
Not really.
He used to yell a lot on the third base when he was coaching on third base. I remember him like that. And he was out of town when I saw you pitch against Darian on a family commitment. But he's a great coach. You guys are off to a great start. What's going to be the keys to keep winning and hopefully have the same success in the postseason you've had in the regular season?
I think just keep doing what we're doing right now. Being loud in the dugout, cheering on everyone. It's going to get us far this year.
Well, but other than quarterback on the higher levels, I can't think of a position that impacts a sport more than pitchers in softball. If you don't have a good pitcher, you don't win. And Trumbull's got a great pitcher. And I know you have to get to work, but I want to thank you for joining me here. And, best of luck. You're off to a great start. Best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Maddie Pippa. We're going to take a break, and we're going to go from softball to baseball. Sean's going to be joining me shortly. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
A look at Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. Bats and Sticks on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut. Your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back. Thanks to Maddie Pippa. And we're going to go from one diamond to the other, our usual baseball talk. And joining me right now, Sean Ratchford. Sean, how you doing?
Doing very well. I'd like to wish a happy Mother's Day to all those moms out there that bring their kids to games.
Yep, they do. They do all the legwork out there. A tribute to all the moms. A busy week is, well, every week's busy right now, but it's funny talking to the coaches after being out at a couple of games, and it's something we talk about. It's all now, boy, how fast is the season gone? You look at it right now, and we're at the three-quarter mark already. It seems like we just started the show, and everybody, is, for the most part, has played 15 games.
Yeah, you're coming out of the fourth turn and you're heading into home stretch. The neat thing for people like you and I is that when you look at the games that are left, you look at the teams that are competing for those final eight spots, a lot of them are going to play each other this week. So it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, especially right now in the league race. We've got three teams. I'm on the softball standings here. I'm a little slow here. But you've got Trumbull at 10-0. You've got Ward and Staples a game behind at 9-1, and Ward beat Staples this past week. And then we talked about Ridgefield at 7-3 being the surprise team. You know, you talked a lot about how you look at the season in five-game segments. Now you're getting down to the final segment. What, as a coach, what's the mindset?
The mindset, depending on where you sit, is you're looking to set your team up for the FCAC, or you're clawing like heck to get your team in the FCAC. So some coaches' mindset is game to game. Other mindset is let's look at who we're playing. Let's line our pitchers up so when we go into the FCAC, we have the pitcher that we want to go. And there's really only two or three teams that can do that right now, because you have six or seven teams that still are in the hunt.
Yeah, you look at the standings and you have of 10 teams, you've got seven right now that are within two games of each other and four that are at 5-5. Right now, is it just when you're one of those teams, is the state playoffs blocked out a little bit and it's we just need one of those eight tickets to have a chance in the FCX?
That is ultimately your goal. Whether you're selling that team, your team or not, that's a coach's personal preference. You know your team well. You just focus on next pitch, or are you looking at the big picture? I think the coaches look at the big picture. You hope the players look next pitch, next play.
How about in terms of coaching strategy? Are you doing anything different than you've done before? Are you doing anything with your pitching rotation? Are you trying to get a little bit more strategic with matchups in terms of charting a path to the playoffs, or is it just keep riding the same wave?
Again, it depends on where you sit. If you're Trumbull at 10-0, if you're Staples, if you're Ward, you have a chance to look at that. The other teams, again, with the way the schedule plays out this year, you're going to need to clone yourself, because there's a game every day that Dave Rudin needs to cover, because it may mean a difference between, as you talked about, stamping that ticket and being on the outside looking in. It's going to come down to the last week, I think, the last game possibly.
And we talk about all these big games and everyone playing each other, and I started the week at Fairfield Ward, and they played Ludlow. They were one out away from a loss and then get a game-tying home run with two outs in the seventh inning. And then fortuitously, they score a run on an error and they go from looking like a loss to Fairfield Ludlow to a 4-3 win. And then they have to bounce back 24 hours after and play Staples. They had to make some changes in the schedule because of anticipated rain on Wednesday. So you're going back to back, and they beat Staples 7-2 on the road, and you know Fairfield Ward is just finding ways to win right now, and they you know beat two of the best teams in the league too.
That's the hardest thing of coaching, Dave, is to convince the kids that it's 21 outs. You know, you get that 20th out, and the kids sort of take a deep breath, not understanding that they're one swing away from it being a tie. They're one error away from somebody getting on base, stealing a base, and now getting a single. And that happened a lot of games. You looked at Norwalk this week at Danbury. Norwalk down 4-0 in the seventh. Score four runs in the seventh to tie it up. Next thing you know, they win in nine innings. So it's the beauty of baseball. It's the curse if you're a coach.
And for Ward, that's their two biggest rivals. Playing Fairfield Ludlow, you have your town rival. And just because of the success they've had, not just league-wide, but statewide, I think Ward and Staples, from a competitive standpoint right now, is the premier rivalry in the FCAC. And how big is that for a team when you beat your two biggest rivals 24 hours apart.
Again, it gives you bragging rights, but when you get into the FCAC, every team is 0-0. And you've seen it before. There's been years where the top four win. There's been years not too long ago where all top four seeds, home, you had a home field advantage, did not win. So, again, the coaches, the kids, for the kids, it's exciting. For the coaches, you're still playing, how can I make my team better? How can we get better? Our job is to look at holes. Our job is to say, okay, we got to get better on bunt defense. We got to get better on first and thirds. And so that's the hardest part of coaching.
I'm guessing if you're one of these teams, if you're Trumbull, Staples, and Ward, where you're close to locking up a spot, but you're not there yet, it's basically telling your players, keep the focus?
Keep your focus, and you want to have a top seed in the States. You want to have a team have to get on a bus and travel to come to you. You want to have a second-round game where you're possibly going to be at home or you're going to be at home. So you're selling the kids, we want to finish as high as possible. So, again, the advantage goes through Trumbull. The advantage goes through Ward. The advantage goes through whoever the top teams are.
And then let's go to the top team at the top of the pedestal there, and that's Trumbull. That's riding a 12-game winning streak, and they're doing it without their top two pitchers, Schulke and Valentino, who are not pitching right now due to injuries. And this week they run off three more wins. They beat Stanford, St. Joseph, and Norwalk, and in the process they score 32 runs to do so. When your offense is like that, you could pretty much throw just about anybody out there.
Again, coaching and leadership. So the coaches have been constant in all of those places. Now you got a kid like Schulke who may not be contributing on the mound, but I'm sure he's in the dugout. He's encouraging his teammates. He's helping the teachers. Hey, look at this. What did you throw here? Hey, maybe you want to lead him off with this. I played with him in the summer. So all those things help. You know, Norwalk's doing the same thing. They're getting leadership from their kids that unfortunately are not on the field. But I know they're on the bench. I know they're helping the team, Brent Ryan and his team, be better.
How big is that role? You talk about it on other sports, but you see the bench. You're not actually looking in the dugout, so most of the times you don't see the injured players and what they're doing. You've obviously had players in the same situation. Can you just talk a little bit about their contributions and maybe even as a coach, what you're saying to those players so that they know they can still make an impact?
Telling them is legacy. So you're going to sit somewhere in 10 years with your buddies from your high school team. They're going to remember how you treated them. They're going to remember how you led the team. They may not even remember that you didn't play. In one of their minds, oh, my God, Dave got the biggest hit of the year. And you look back, Dave didn't play that year. He was out injured. So you're selling them on leaving behind something that may not be on the field, but it's going to last forever. It's going to last when they get together at reunions. It's going to last when the baseball kids get together and when you get together with a friend and you're telling your grandkids, hey, remember when.
And, we've been talking about the schedule upcoming, and you look at the games that are coming up for Trumbull right now. They play Staples tomorrow. They play Ridgefield on Wednesday. Ridgefield has been the sleeper team in the league. They play New Canaan, which got off to a rough start and now is come on. And then next Monday, they played Ludlow. So four games against teams that most likely are going to be in the FCAC tournament.
And again, Phil and his coaches are selling it. Hey, we get to play in the FCAC game. We get to play in the state game during the year. We get to see what we do well. We get to see what we got to work on. You're selling your kids on the excitement. Can we win or run one game? Can we come from behind? Can we deal with adversity? Somebody makes a mistake. Somebody makes an error. So there's a lot of ways to sell it to keep them focused and getting better.
Does it make a difference as well, and this may be a better conversation for next week, when you're playing late in the season, you're playing teams that you could meet in the first round? I can recall a lot of games where teams end the regular season against the team it ends up playing in the first round of the playoffs. Is that a different dynamic as well?
Absolutely, 100%. Because do you use something that you may have to use in the next game to beat them? Do you put a bunt down? Do you try a steal? Do you hit and run? Or do you save that? You save that for when the lights are a little bit brighter. So that's a decision you as a coach. Some coaches got to win every game. You know, and every coach, I think, wants to win every game, but then you realize, what do we have in the tank for the next time we play? So it is really tough. I think of the Giants when they played the Patriots. They beat them, at the end of the season, the Patriots did. But the Giants got a taste of, hey, we can compete with this team. And then they go back and they play them in the Super Bowl, and bang, they end their undefeated season. So,
how was that game? The best sporting event I've ever been to.
I was in
Arizona, and I basically had to fly in on a Saturday, so I hardly had any time, and then flew out on a Monday, and I had to go from Arizona to Los Angeles to Newark, and all my friends said, you're nuts to pay that much to do that. And then afterwards, when I got home, it's like, man, that had to be the best trip and best game ever.
Yeah, they all wanted to take you out. Now you were the man.
That was the best time. That was the best sporting event I've ever been to. But let's talk quickly about a team with a coaching staff that not many people know. You do very well, and that's Ridgefield. They got off to a slow start. They lost three of their first four games, and pretty much everybody, I think, wrote them off. And I don't know that they were ever written in. They weren't discussed at all. And now they're right in the middle of the playoff race, and they're coming off a 2-1 week. They beat Ludlow, and they'd already beaten a couple of other tough teams earlier in the year. A one-run loss to a very good Wilton team, and then they beat your old team, Danbury. Ridgefield's just, nobody's really even now talking about them, but they're sitting there right in the middle.
Yeah, Kevin Bridie has done an amazing job there. He's a perfect baseball coach. There's not too many highs with Kevin. There's not too many lows. He deals extremely well with the individual players. He's got Tom Price, who's there. Tom Price played at Notre Dame and then played in the minor leagues as a pitching guy. He's got six or seven other local people that stay there and give back to the program that had played for Ridgefield. You got Murillo there. Lenny is still there helping. And the town cares. So you have a recipe for success.
Before we take a break, we're going to have Jules Cicero on. And last week I talked about the midseason report I wrote, and I put the Fairfield Ludlow pitching staff as the MVP. And everything changes right now. And I'd have to look over everybody else because there are a lot of people making contributions. But Jules Cicero at Staples, the leadoff hitter, I'm not quite sure right now. I could look at the pitchers because pitchers impact the game so much. But an everyday player, look at Jules Cicero right now, leadoff hitter. He's batting .566, four homers and 17 RBIs already in 15 games. And the number that really stands out to me, and I mentioned this to you on the ride in, 62 plate appearances. He hasn't struck out once.
It's incredible. I mean, those are softball numbers. And you got to love it because I see you interview him after the game online. You call him the Pope Brothers. And he's humble as heck when you're talking to him off the field. You get him on the field, he's as fierce a competitor as I've ever coached against in the FCAC. He's the kid that drives that motor. I got to do everything I can to keep him from getting on base. If he gets on, we got to try to pick him off. So a testament to him, and that's a great choice, Dave.
I still love it. It's, Pulp Fiction's my favorite movie. What's the chances that you have a Jules and a Vincent Vega on the same team? I just love that. When I've heard about that when they were sophomores, but you had to play against him, coach against him. Did you pitch him any differently last year? Because he had a great year last season as well.
Well, again, we chart and we looked at the charts from last year. Kids grow, they get better, they become more disciplined. So you try to look at your charts. You try to talk to people to see, will he chase? Will he go after stuff? He's aggressive but patient. And I know those are oxymorons, but when he gets the pitch he wants, he goes after it, and he can hit the ball to both fields, which is makes him dangerous. So he takes away some pitches that you may want to throw away to keep away from that short fence at Staples, and he still can do damage.
Well, other besides us talking about him, we'll let him talk about himself, which means he won't say much, but we'll try to coax whatever we can out of him. On the other side, we'll talk to Staples' Jules Cicero. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Bats and Sticks and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and we talked about him before the break, and we're going to talk to him right now, and that's Staples' Jules Cicero. Jules, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing okay. How about talk a little bit, and I know you're low-key and you don't like to talk about yourself, but you have to be elated by the start you've had so far.
Yeah, it's been great. But mostly what I focus on, you know, we're 9-1 the FCX, so that's what counts.
Let's talk about Friday's game, which was one of the – I was following it on Game Changer, one of the craziest games of the year. You jump out to a 6-0 lead in part because you hit two home runs, the second a grand slam, and 6-0, at 6-0 you're looking pretty good. And then all of a sudden you get to the sixth inning and you're down 9-6 as Ludlow scores 9 straight runs, and you're looking at a really tough loss after you started the week with a loss to Ward. And then you guys score 6 runs in the bottom of the sixth, and you come away with 11-9 win. And just talk a little bit about what that game was like in the highs and lows.
Yeah, obviously very up and down game. Started off great, but Ludlow's a great team. Reed Stanton, their starter, is a great pitcher. So we knew that any given inning he could put up a zero on us, and he did that for a few straight innings. They caught some momentum, but we were a very resilient team. We know how to fight back, and that's just what we did. We knew we were never out of it. We knew they were never out of it, and we just competed.
You ever hit two home runs in your first two at-bats in a game?
That was a first.
what was that like for you?
You know, it was great to come through for my teammates. Obviously, you mentioned the loss earlier in the week, and that was a game we thought we really needed to win. So, being able to come through and put some runs up on the board was really nice.
I know you don't like to talk about yourself. You want to talk about the team. But when you're the leadoff hitter, you're setting the tone for the team, and what you do contributes to the team's success. What about what's different about being a leadoff hitter as compared to batting somewhere else in the order?
I think mostly, well, as you said, you know, kind of getting things going. A lot of the time, a walk will be just as important as a single in the leadoff spot because getting on base matters a lot. As opposed to if there's runners on, a single will probably do you better than a walk. So it's just about being patient at the plate and only really swinging at pitches that I know I can drive so that I can get on base for my teammates.
I mean, you look at your numbers. You're batting .566. You have 30 hits, so you're averaging 2 hits a game. You got 4 homers. You got 17 RBIs, so a leadoff hitter averaging over an RBI game. You're 13-for-13 stolen bases. I don't think any of those is your most incredible statistic. It's 62 plate appearances, and you haven't struck out once, and your coach didn't even realize that till he got me your numbers. How do you manage that?
Yeah, that really comes down to, I think, just we know what we're facing going into the game. And as I think starting in the leadoff spot, a strikeout is it's not great. It kind of might stunt any momentum from happening. So I try to put a lot of emphasis in putting the ball in play and making somebody make a play to get me out. So yeah, maybe I'll choke up and just put the ball in play. And, yeah.
Now, when you do that, good things have been happening. Sean, jump on in.
Well, he has the perfect mindset for a leadoff. I loved playing against you and hated, if that makes any sense, because you always had great at-bats. If you hit a one-hopper to shortstop, it was still going to be bang-bang because you hustled down your hard 90. How did you learn that? How did you come about in a game of failure to play 100% every pitch?
That just comes from, I think, playing so many games before. There's probably times where I didn't go 100% out of the box, and I was out even when I could have been safe. And I work hard on being pretty fast and making that a weapon. So, yeah, I just kind of learned that getting on base is really important, and I'm going to have a better chance of doing that if I'm taking every play 100%.
Well, as I told Dave on the set before you came on, I love that how humble you are off the field, yet on the field you're a warrior. I know summer ball tends to be a little different. Where do you play in the summer? Are you as competitive in the summer? Can you talk about the summer baseball?
Yeah, so I play with a local team called the Sharks. It's with a lot of Staples kids, so we all take it seriously. It's kind of it's basically still Staples baseball, just without the same jersey, and we always try to put our best foot forward out there too. And yeah, it's a good experience that builds team chemistry with everybody, and it's just another game.
That's fantastic. Who's your favorite pro baseball player? That tells me a lot about kids.
As a Yankee fan, I could give you a basic answer like Aaron Judge or something, but the guy who I like their play the most is probably Bobby Witt Jr. from the Royals.
And tell me why. What about him do you love that you want to emulate as a player?
I just really like how well-rounded he is. There's no real weakness in his game. He hustles every play. He's one of the fastest guys in the league. And he uses that as a weapon, as I try to do. And you can tell he puts in more effort than everybody else in the field whenever he's playing, and that's why he dominates.
That's fantastic.
Jules, your season as a whole has kind of been like your Ludlow game on Friday. You win two games, and then you lose three, and then you go on a seven-game winning streak, and you've won 9 of your last 10. The Ward lost Monday, the only one. What's this roller coaster ride been like? And pretty much the roller coaster's been going up.
Yeah, it's certainly been interesting. Every game, the whole team is there to be resilient and fight. And obviously it's great when it ends in a win. And we've been doing a great job of coming through when it matters. Like you saw that Ludlow game, Connor Brill hit that home run to make it 11-9. Bruce Schlegelmilch right before that hit a double to tie it. So just 1 through 9, we play for each other, and doing that, we're able to come back, and we're never out of a game. It's been great.
How about Trumbull tomorrow? All games are big at this point, but is Trumbull a little bit bigger given your place in the standings?
Yeah, as you said, every game's big, but I'd be lying if I said we didn't really want to win that one. Obviously, they're the only team above us and Ward, and they're undefeated. We want to hand them that first loss of the year. They've kind of had our number over the past couple seasons, so it's certainly something we're aiming for to to come home with another win.
Is it true? I forgot to ask you this, but I was talking to your coach, but are you going to James Madison next year?
I am, yes.
Are you going to play?
I'm not totally sure yet. I'm going to try to, but we'll just see how it goes. It depends on how I play in the fall there.
So at least you're going to try to walk on?
Yeah.
Okay. When we talked at the very
big school.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Great school with a great facility. They took their old high school, turned it into their baseball field and the weight room. Both my girls went there. You're going to have a ball there.
Thank you.
When I talked to you at the beginning of the year, it sounded like you were leaning more towards not playing in school. Has the success this year changed your mind a lot?
To be honest, yeah, it has. I kind of learned from this year that baseball is not something I really want to just let go. Being a part of this team with my teammates, it's something I want to continue to do for the next 4 years at least. And I don't think it'd be easy enough to just put that away. So, yeah.
Before we finish here, I have to ask you this because I just have so much fun with it, but have you seen the movie Pulp Fiction?
I have.
Had you seen it before you met Vincent Vega?
No.
After
I knew that there was a Vincent Vega and a Jules, but I really never put together how wild it was.
Is it pretty funny now that you look at your names and you look at the movie?
Yeah, definitely.
I just have so much fun with it because I've probably seen that movie over 50 times, maybe even more than that. Or if it's on TV, if I'm surfing, I'll watch parts of it. But I just get a kick out of it, so I have a lot of fun with it. But Jules, you're having a great season. The Wreckers are having a great season. I'm really happy too, as somebody who's gotten to know you, that you're going to give college ball a try and. I'm throwing my chips in the table on you. So thanks a lot for joining us here, and I'll see you tomorrow. Good luck.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, that was Staples' Jules Cicero. We got him to talk about himself a little bit there, Shauna, more so than I thought he would.
Yeah, and I love that he talked about his teammates and he talked about how they contribute. And I think he's a perfect kid for a JMU. He brings all the attributes that you want that are not physical. You know, he's a great baseball player, but he's a great teammate. He's a leader. All those things are what college coaches look for. So I think he's going to be very successful. I'm glad he's choosing to play.
If you have to put a prototype of a high school athlete together, all the not just the talent, but all the other factors, I don't know that you can do any better than a Jules Cicero.
No, and he's bringing what you want. He's the guy that says, you know what, I'm not ready to give it up. Those are the guys that are hungry. Those are the guys that you want to fill your roster. So he's perfect.
What about Staples Trumbull tomorrow? What's it like? Because you know there are a lot of big games ahead. It's still the regular season, and you're looking at the playoffs, but you still want the challenge. What's it going to be like for the Staples and Trumbull players tomorrow?
Again, they're going to be excited. They're going to have a hard time focusing on school. Whoever's got to get on the bus ride's going to be filled with energy. Then it's probably going to go quiet because they're getting their mindset ready for the game. I think the team that scores first has the advantage in that they're going to be able to relax. That's going to take a little pressure off. You hope that the game comes down to a big hit or a great pitching performance, not to a mistake.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week for Trumbull. We'll see what we're saying about them next week because they have Staples. Wednesday, they're home again against Ridgefield. And then on Thursday, they go to New Canaan. So it'll be if they can make it through this week and they're still undefeated, that's saying something.
It's a heck of a job by that coaching staff. As you had mentioned earlier, their two main pitchers are out. And they're still getting it done. They're still competing. They're scoring runs again like it's a softball game. So,
well, Sean, another great week, and we got a good one ahead. Thanks a lot, and thanks for accommodating with a little change in the lineup today.
Thank you, and good luck with your dinner Thursday night. It's a great cause. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks. That's Sean Ratchford, and we're going to go from the Diamonds to lacrosse. Anna Von Kennel of the undefeated Darien girls lacrosse team is going to be joining me next. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Expert analysis on all things high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. You're listening to Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and if there's been a theme today to our guests, great athletes and even better people, and that certainly goes for my next guest. She's the reigning Girls Lacrosse Player of the Year. Good chance she's going to repeat for a 14-0 Blue Wave team that's number two in the country and one of the nicest and politest athletes I've ever covered. There are a few on the same pedestal as her, but nobody higher. That's Anna Von Kennel. Anna, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You have to be elated. You have to be honest with me. I knew you were going to be good. I'd be lying if I thought that you guys would be undefeated right now and number two in the country. Has what the team done exceeded your expectations even a little bit?
I mean, I definitely have faith in every single one of our teammates. I knew it was definitely in our realm to go undefeated, but just to see how everything has worked out for us shows how much hard work has gone off in the off season.
Wednesday, you had your final out-of-state game against NIAC, and it turned into a little bit more of a nail-biter than you all would have liked, but you came away with a 10-9 win. You're looking at the game, but you also have to a little bit be looking ahead, and you want to have an undefeated season. Was there added pressure for you in that game, just given the status of the team right now?
I think the hardest part of that game was honestly being fatigued. At this point in the season, a lot of it comes to grit and resilience. I think that we knew they were going to be a great team. They have some amazing players, and they're well-coached. But being on home turf, obviously an advantage. And I think you could just tell that we got the job done. It might not always be pretty, but we came out with the win.
I think if there was a telltale sign about what this Blue Wave team was going to be like, we can go back to the second game of the season, and you played St. Anthony's, which was number one in the country and had a 51-game winning streak. And you go up 7-3, and you give up two quick goals, and then you're all of a sudden up 7-3. And then you knew St. Anthony's is going to make a run, and they tie the game at 9-9. And then in overtime, you had the winning assist. Quinn Chandler scored the goal. Did the St. Anthony's game really change the outlook for the team in terms of we knew we were going to be good and we could be really special?
Totally. I think that game really dictated how our season was going to go. We knew the way our schedule laid out, it was going to be a tough season just because we play so many hard teams. And playing the best team in the country, your second game is not ideal, but I think it shows how hard we really could work. And I think it set the standard high how the season was going to go for the rest.
How hard is it for people who don't really follow lacrosse? They try to match up the teams that are the very top of the league so you don't have too many blowouts and games that really don't do the favorite any good or the losing team that or the decided underdog. So you get to play out-of-state games in lacrosse, and your coach Lisa Lindley sets up the hardest schedule probably of any coach. You play the top 10, 20 teams in the country. How hard is that when you have a big game every game, and we're not even discussing the New Canaan's, Walton's, Ridgefield's?
I mean, it's extremely difficult, but I wouldn't want it any other way. I think it shows how Lisa's coaching style, she's not playing teams to win. She's playing teams to see how successful her team can be and how she can grow each and every player, which I just think is so important. A record's obviously great, but when it comes down to it, she's trying to make us the best players possible, and you can't do that if you play an easy schedule.
When you were a freshman, the team went undefeated and finished number one in the country. So you've been in this situation before. Now that it comes down to you have all in-state games remaining, you have a couple of league games in the regular season, and then you're going to go to the playoffs and you're going to see New Canaan and Wilton, maybe not just once, but twice. What's the outlook like at this point of the season when you know where you are and when you still want to get to?
I think I talked about this either before. I definitely have the view just game by game. In playoffs, any team, any day can show up. I've seen one player beat a whole team, and I've seen our team play amazing and shut down any player, any top player we've seen. So I just think as a team, we really need to keep our heads on straight. The record's great, but the record means nothing if you don't finish the job.
As we finish up here with you, you're headed to Florida next year. What led you make that decision?
I have a lot of trust in Lisa and her guidance. People said to me going into my recruiting summer, you'll know it's a gut feeling. I kind of thought that was just like not how it was going to be, but it truly was. I went on a visit. I was on the campus around the coaching staff and the girls, and I knew it was the place for me.
Well, Anna, you're having a great season. The team's having a great season. You're undefeated. Good luck the rest of the way. Hopefully you get to end your career the way you started it, and thanks for taking the time here.
Yes, that's a dream. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's Anna Von Kennel, and that's this week's episode of Bats and Sticks. Thanks to Tom Colangelo in the production chair there. We're brought to you by Duchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. Happy Mother's Day and have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday.